Welcome to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe, about prosperity, about freedom, and especially about press freedom. And today, it's the 3rd of May. That's the global day for media freedom. That's a very important day because media and reporters, journalists should live in freedom, like everybody else, obviously, do their work unmolested, unharassed, and in decent working conditions. Obviously, that's important for democracies. That's essential for the development of freedom. Because otherwise, if nobody holds the powerful accountable, writes about their business deals, about the manipulation of the judiciary, about the way they manipulate the people, and somebody must question and objectively also hold them not just accountable, but ask if the way they lead the nation, they hold power on behalf of the people, if this is correct, if that's the way, if they understand and present the situation correctly, if there are answers for the futures, which obviously nobody really knows, and there is competing interests for how to run governments and how to lead a nation, an economy, how to administer a state. And then obviously somebody must ask these questions. And if then there's intimidation, there's corruption in the media and by the state, there's threats, there's even violence against journalists, and all the journalists are dying. Every year we have a lot of them. I will now, you know already these rankings I love so much, I will guide you through the most important of them. You know, there's many organizations who really do wonderful work for freedom of journalists, the United Nations, the OSCE, there's the Council of Europe, there's a lot on there. The EU is doing something, yes. But I will guide you through this Reporters Without Borders ranking in this podcast, because I think it's the most meaningful. Please, because today is the day, I think every man, every woman, every person in the world should once in his life at least see the rsf.org website. Not everybody, you know, cares so much for these topics, I understand it, but it's really important. And, you know, that there is something like this, I think is important. There's also the way to donate it. I have personally not done it, but if you have the opportunity, donate for Reporters Without Borders. It's courageous people, and they fight for freedom and rights of journalists, and you can just at least subscribe to the newsletter of Reporters Without Borders, or at least once in your life, check the real working conditions of journalists. They have a wonderful map out there. It's a graphic tool where you can see the real level of freedom. There's many rankings about democracies and, you know, about economics. I will mostly talk about many of the economic indexes. I love them so much and they are very useful. But see this one and see where media can work free in North America. Already much less, of course, not in Cuba. Of course, much less in South America already. Africa, really difficult working conditions. Russia, obviously, as well. China, it's black on the black. The black areas is Cuba, it's North Korea, China, Thailand, Laos, it's here, Tajikistan, and it's Azerbaijan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Egypt, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, and Yemen. That's the worst areas in the world to work for journalists. And let's think about them, obviously, because there are people out there to bring you these stories, to bring you the news feeds you are getting on your mobile phone and in your internet connection. There are people out there who try to bring you the facts, the figures, their perspective, the way they see the world, even in countries where the powerful don't want to be seen in the way and they rule the people, the land, the economic opportunities. They don't want you to see, and there are people going out there to show you, to inform you, to give you always, you know, there's no ultimate objective truth, I think, but they show you the way they see it and they give you their interpretation. And, you know, the multitude of different perspectives creates some approximation to the truth and to the facts, which I think is very important. We are in an age of very unilateral perspectives. I also on this podcast give you my personal impressions and my perspectives from my political views, from my experiences, from my views, how I saw Eastern Europe mainly. And others give you other views, and then you can decide what you trust, what you believe, what you think, what you want. And that, I think, is the approximation to a better world by a better information, by more access. And China and also Russia. But Russia is not the worst place here. You know, they have their criteria. I don't want to, I think, of course, that Russian conditions are the worst. But I have to say, obviously, Syria. You know, and Turkmenistan is also on the worst list. Yeah, it's quite tragic, but take a look yourself. I will now guide you because I don't want to touch all the issues in the world. I want to touch and base, obviously, with the region I'm most concerned. That's obviously the transformation of Central Asia, of Eastern Europe, and of the Balkans. And here, some surprising facts are worth noting. Because there is progress. Look, for example, Romania in NATO and in EU. And in the press freedom, it's at place 48. Because everybody says, oh, Romania, it's a disaster. 48 is not so bad. Obviously, Poland is at, how we have it here, 64. So Poland, much worse than Romania. And that has to be noted. Bravo, Romania. They are doing some things really good. See the contrast to Bulgaria. Bulgaria under Borisov, no, I'm jumping now to Russia. Russia is at 150th place in the world out of 180 countries ranked. So you have here Russia, but then let's go to, I wanted to go to Romania. 112, oops, for a European country, 112, really very bad result. No wonder people are upset with Mr. Borisov. His Chaika system, his media system, is not the way to run a European NATO member state. And nowadays, anyhow, a successor for him. And hopefully, better times are coming. But let's go to Croatia. Croatia, also not perfect, 56. What should a country actually have? Not everybody should be like Germany, you know, that's number 13 in the world of press freedom. But would be good, I think. Austria, number 17. We have some issues. We are not on German level. Despite our arrogance, we are always a bit behind. The thing is, Italy, no? Italy 41. Not so good. Mr. Berlusconi's legacy of financial control of the media has left its marks. So Romania, it's 48. Italy at 41. So Italy, soon Romania will overtake you. And let's see the Balkans, my lovely Balkans. Which countries I really love very much? Bosnia, 58. Should not the EU work a bit harder on that one? Albania, 83. Mr. Rama just got his third term, so have no doubt how he got it, you know. Of course, control of the media is important for the politicians. They have the two most important power tools, politicians, in such countries. That's the control of the Central Electoral Commission and of the media regulator. And be sure they know that as well. And that's why they control the way people are informed. And then you have a situation like Hungary, 92. It's EU country, Hungary. 92. That's really bad. Bulgaria, Hungary. What we have in Ukraine? 97. My lovely Ukraine, what's exactly happening? This is not good enough. Belarus, obviously 158 out of 180, one of the worst countries. Look, the world is not only about doing business rankings, the world is very much also about press freedom. Macedonia in 90, yeah, it's not so good. Romania, 48, remember that, that's the benchmark. What we have in Slovenia, let me come back to my lovely Slovenia, 36. That's not the Austrian level, but it's better than Italy, significantly better than Italy at 40. Let me not forget, Italy was at, oops. Yeah, that was Italy. I can't find Italy, 41. Whoa! so not so good. You know, we should be Portugal, for example, place number 9. It's very good. It's free country. That matters. Finland, place number 2. I had no doubt. They know what they do. See the contrast. Russia 150. So we have the reality. This is so important index. And then we have Georgia, 60. Not perfect. They had many issues now with media control. Armenia, 63. Armenia is really a reform superstar these days. Yeah? Some, of course, there was a tragedy, the war and everything, but Pashinyan is doing things. 167, guess who's dead? Azerbaijan. Of course, oil wealth and authoritarian Soviet legacy. They control the society and they control it very strictly. Turkey, 153. Even worse than Russia, but they are competing in the 150 league. Yeah? So we are in that situation now. We have really a problem in some of the countries, but it's not everywhere the same. On World Press Freedom Day, the 3rd of May, a very important day. There is also, let's see, UNESCO is obviously doing a lot. I didn't mention UNESCO. They are doing a lot on press freedom. The Council of Europe, the European Union, the Americans obviously do a lot on that one whenever they could also do a bit better. Recent years, this Fox CNN competition, everybody more biased than the other. Obviously, Fox is the worst. But also CNN sees the world very much as they want it. The idea of objective journalism has not been really winning grounds in the recent days. But that's that table is more about concrete violations. You can help the journalists here on this website. You have the methodology here. Then you have an abuse score. Underlying situation score, global score, you have, it's very sophisticated. I don't want to go in, but there's also the methodology when you want to see that. The index is compiled, they have a questionnaire, they are asking 87 questions about press freedom, about pluralism, media independence, environment and self-censorship, legislative framework, transparency, infrastructure abuses, and so on. There are many complex issues in this whole topic about press and media freedom to be then analyzed. It's obviously also the question about physical intimidation, intimidation of the family. There's also the question of the financial relations between the government and the media. That's obviously so important. The issue of media concentration. In Austria, we have a very concentrated media landscape in the hand of a few banks and families, and they are obviously very connected with the government. The government buys from its own budget revenues much, 220 million yearly of advertisement revenues. That's also a question of influence. Then it's also the question of subsidies, the state subsidizing the media for certain reasons. That might be also useful, but it's also questionable. The whole topic about ownership, yeah, and disclosure of ownership of media. Because in many countries you have and then no disclosure. That's of course a big problem. Because you say that one important business group owns a media, then they tell them what to say, and without the public having any kind of understanding who is behind that message and that interest. And they perceive the view of the world according to their economic interest. We have often the case in Eastern Europe that important oligarchs or tycoons, they are called differently in different countries, but people who came rich in the transformation process, and they basically have media without any financial interest, only for political reasons or the defense of their property and their business empire. It works like this. You basically are important economically or politically, and then you build up a big TV studio just to, in the case somebody wants to question your business dealing, you can attack him in the media. I mean, this is also questionable, and it's also questionable if journalists have a lot of consulting agreement and do their private activities and then sell off basically their business interests towards the rich and powerful and report to the public in the name of objectivity, while in reality they have direct economic relations with the interviewees. Yeah? That's also questionable. And there's many important issues. It's not only the powerful dominating or threatening the media or dominating them by basically threatening the journalists' promotions. And that's always, or keeping their job security under question, putting publishers under threat so that the journalists get fired or get messages to be in line with the government direction, and so on. There is really huge issues here, which are also not in the West fully and well regulated. Yeah? There is issues everywhere, because obviously the media is the access to the public. It's the gateway. It's the multiplier where one person, one politician can reach his voters, which is again the basis of his power. And so ultimately, to suppress investigative journalism, for example, that's very important for the economic elite, because their business deals, their kind of manipulations, they don't want to question that in the public, because then suddenly the politicians could somehow feel the pressure to send the investigators from the Monopoly Commission and the other investigators, depending on what they did. And so this is really a key question for democracies and for market economies. Also, market economies cannot work without the corrective of the public, without the media questioning the business deals and also reporting about them, but also raising the right issues. What is, why it happened? Was there no regulatory oversight? Are the consumers not protected? Are the citizens, the taxpayers not protected? Without the media, a society, a free society cannot work. Free media, free society, free economy, it's very much interconnected. And when you see this kind of black and red arrow in places, the black and red areas of the world are actually quite a lot. I'm not one of these cultural pessimists who say the world is getting worse and democracy is in decline. There's a lot of business cases out there, people selling their books and complaining. And I understand, you know, there was a retreat when the lead economy and the lead democracy of the world, America, is run by orange clown who takes the media on directly as a fake news apparatus, and his hatred for the public media is so clear, and he found his kind of followers in Poland, Hungary, Philippines, Russia, Turkey, because when the big ones are not doing things wrong, then there is a lot of medium and smaller crooks around who then say, ah, interesting, seems an opportunity. And so it turned out. But these times are over now, I'm confident. And one by one, all this kind of hobby and semi-populists will probably melt away in the sunlight of transparency and higher accountability by American leadership. That is what I hope, and that is what is, I think, going on already. And of course, some hide then in the shadow of China and Russia, because there is this alternative development model of autocrat, a kind of despotism available, but it will not last, it will not win, and also there they will, the people will be held accountable. The people will hold the powerful accountable. But obviously the case of Navalny, who in many ways is also a video journalist and an activist, obviously, he's of course a politician as well, but nevertheless his claim to fame are his video messages and his fantastic, if you have not seen it, at least, you know, when you can do nothing on this day, you don't want to support, to make a donation for Reporters of Without Borders. What everybody in the world can do when he has internet connection is see one of these English subtitled videos of Navalny. And it's something you can do, you can share on social media. It already makes a big impact, yeah, because then facts are getting to a bigger audience. And obviously social media and the development of smart technology since 2008 has really transformed also the world of the media. Of course, it is also more competition for the professional journalists. Yeah, people like me can also talk and reach some audience. Yeah, that's of course a big of a difference on Twitter and social media. But also the thing is, it is also extremely empowering. Yeah? Information can reach people faster and wider and less controlled. It is one of the key reasons for the democratization. I see the world actually a bit different than some, like Krastev and others, yeah, these big philosophers. I think the democracy has really developed enormously. And the future is the democracy, absolutely, the market democracy and this information technology. We will win this. Yeah. But obviously it goes in swings and turns. You know, it's not automatically a super highway towards perfect democracy. It comes with setbacks because also Twitter has chances and opportunities, and the world has to learn that, and the people have to use this tool reasonable, but they will. And all these authoritarians who try to control everything, they are actually in withdrawal and in retreat. And in fact, they are, of course, so hard to measure working against journalists and against social media and against activists and bloggers, because they feel threatened in their domination of the traditional power structures of a state by the social media, by the information technology advances. But there is more to come. And, you know, the whole individuals, a single person with just the internet connection and the knowledge what to do and something to say can broadcast live to the world with a limited audience. But it's a lot of people with a lot of limited audience. And so democracy and the idea of freedom, of market-based economies, of SMEs will spread also to these black holes of the world, also to China and to Russia and to Saudi Arabia, Iran. None of these dictatorships will stay for long. And I foresee a future which is bright, which is free, which is full of democracies in the world. Yeah? And all these dictators will tumble under the onslaught of modernity and modern information society. And none of these traditional kind of autocrats will be there in 20 years from now, because freedom will succeed, and technology and the markets and our international system will one by one, in a difficult process, also transform these societies. And that's my message for the 3rd of May. If you are for freedom, democracy, for the market, celebrate the Media Freedom Day. The 3rd of May is an important day. And when you know a journalist, call him or tweet him. Or when you have people working professionally in their media, in whatever kind of aspect, or just subscribe a newspaper, an online journal of your choice, and celebrate it that way. Put also your money where your mouth is, insofar that you either support the Reporters Without Borders, or you subscribe the newspaper of your choice, yeah? Or you do something else when you have these opportunities, if just it is to read and to learn and to see the work of professional journalists. They often work in the front line of democracies and market economies. They really work for the consumers, for the taxpayers, for the citizens, and that is so important. And so let's celebrate this wonderful day. And be sure, in the medium term, all these enemies of freedom, they will be blown away by the power of the many and by the freedom of everybody to come. Okay, maybe that's naive. Maybe I'm too optimistic. But I'm just 52. I've seen in my life these 30 years of freedom in Eastern Europe. I've seen the transformation of Austria and of so many countries in Eastern Europe towards free societies, which actually, you know, let's remember, Romania is at 48, and I was still there in Romania first time, 96. It was not on 48 of Reporters Without, you know, you might remember where these countries come from, and some of them are backsliding. Well, good, yeah, we have to work harder, and there will be progress. Some of them are disappointments on that one, like Bulgaria. But good, it's not only economic reform which can, because Bulgaria got it economically quite right. It's also the rule of law, and it's also media freedom. And when we don't look, when we let the populists, yeah, the power of temptation, then get away with them, And then suddenly small countries can be easily cornered. The political markets, in a market economy version, you know, it's a market, an electoral market, it can be easily cornered, like a smaller economy is always the problem. Yeah. And then you have, for example, you do a little bit of fear-mongering about the Turks or about the Romanians and then, or the Macedonians or the Greeks. That's, you know, because in the small societies, it's always the neighbors is complicated and there's always people who feel represented by a specific religious or ethnic group and their representatives. So you corner the market for the politics, then you control the media, and then suddenly nobody really looks so much when you do all your shady deals. Yeah? And then somehow when the Europeans and the West is busy with itself, then probably we have backsliding, yes, and we had it. Obviously also the Russians and Chinese are not helping. The Russians with their secret service activities and the Chinese with their corruptive kind of funding deals, yeah, it's not really so helpful, the whole thing. And then backsliding is obviously a reality, so we have to work harder. But we have these bigger forces of technology change, information society, and the advance of the prosperity with us. And then these role models will work. And now reason is back in the White House, and I'm very optimistic, you will see. My bet, my guess for the 2020s to be the decade of democracy and to have all these institutional changes which we need, especially in the OECD. And also there will be major progress for journalism, for media freedom. And you will see many of these red places will turn to orange, the orange towards yellow, and the this kind of yellow to very bright Swedish, Finnish standards. Good. Austria can also improve, as I said, to come to Netherlands or to Belgium standards on the way ahead. Good, so much for me on this beautiful day. Celebrate the 3rd of May. It's a specially important day for in the world. And whatever you can do for the free media, do it today. And thanks a lot for free media, for a free world, for free people. Thanks a lot.